Maintaining consistency across an EP workflow, drum and bass in Ableton Live. Intermediate. All right, let's talk about the thing that separates three cool tunes from an EP that feels like a world. Consistency. In drum and bass, people feel consistency fast. Same kind of drum weight, same sub-discipline, a similar sense of space, and a familiar energy curve. And the trick is doing that without accidentally making every track a clone. Same universe, different chapters. Today you're going to build an EP workflow inside Ableton Live that basically keeps you honest. You'll set a few non-negotiables, build a reusable template, lock down your drum and sub-identity, share return effects so all your tracks live in the same space, and you'll add a reference lane and a checklist so you don't drift from track to track. By the end, you should have an Ableton set you can start every tune from, and it'll already sound like it belongs on the same release. Let's start with step 1. Define the EP spec. 10 minutes. This is the most underrated part. Before you touch a synth, pick your constraints. For rolling or jungle, pick one tempo in the 172 to 176 range. Don't keep it flexible. Pick it, let's say 174 BPM. Then choose two or three compatible keys. For example, F minor, G minor, C minor. You don't have to be strictly musical about it, but if one tune lives around D sharp and the next lives around A, your bass weight and tonal vibe can feel unrelated even if the drums are similar. You can break that rule on purpose later, but you want a default. Decide on your drum spine. Like, what's the backbone across the EP? Is it Amen texture with modern punch? Or steppy rollers with tight top loops? Just choose a lane. Pick a rough loudness target for pre-master demos. Something like -6 to -8 LUFS integrated is common for this is loud enough to listen to, but you're not crushing the life out of it. And I want to underline that. Don't chase final loudness while you're writing. It's one of the easiest ways to lose consistent transients across tracks. And set a low-end policy. For D&B, decide where the sub-fundamental is living. Often that's in the 45 to 60 Hz zone. Decide that your sub is always mono. And decide who owns the 50 to 60 area, kick or sub. They can both exist, but one should be the main character. Put all of this in project notes. Literally a text file in the EP folder. Because your brain will forget, but the EP will remember. Now step 2, create an EP template in Ableton Live. Open a new live set and build a routing skeleton you'll reuse. Save it as something like EP template DNB 174. The goal is that every track starts from the same physics. Make groups, a drums group with separate lanes for kick, snare, hats and tops, breaks and loops, and percussion and fills. A bass group with a dedicated SUB track, a mid-bass resample lane, and a res or layer track. A music group for pads and atmos, stabs or keys, and effects. Optional vocals or shots. Then set up returns. Short room reverb, dub delay, long atmospheric verb, and optionally a parallel crunch return for grit. And make a reference track, an audio track, where you can drop reference tunes, and route it either straight to your master with a switch, or if you've got external outputs you can route it there. The point is, quick a slash B without changing your whole session. Now the biggest consistency hack in this whole template. Global gain staging. Put a utility on each group and start them at set values. Drums group at -6 dB. Bass group at -8 dB. Music group at -10 dB. These numbers aren't magic, but the behavior is. This gives you headroom and makes the mix respond similarly in every project. Teacher note here, if track 1 has the drum group slamming and track 2 has the drum group polite, you'll start fixing it with random compression and saturation choices. That's how you lose your sound. We want a repeatable starting posture. Step 3. Build a consistent drum bus. Inside your drums group, you can either process the group itself, or you can route all drum tracks into a dedicated drum bus audio track. Either works. What matters is the chain stays stable across tracks. A solid stock Ableton chain looks like this. First EQ8. High pass around 20 to 30 Hz to clear rumble, then a gentle dip around 250 to 400 Hz if things feel boxy. And optionally, a tiny shelf lift around 8 to 12k for air. Tiny, don't turn your EP into a simple contest. Then glue compressor. Attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2 to 1. Aim for about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on loud sections. Not 6. If you're getting 6, you're changing the groove and punch in ways that will differ track to track. Then drum bus. Subtle drive. Maybe 5 to 15%. Crunch only if you want bite. Boom very carefully, because in D&B we usually want the sub to be controlled elsewhere, not inflated on the drum bus. Use damp to prevent harsh hats. then a saturator, soft sine or analog clip. Drive may be 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. This is one of your glue tones. Optionally a limiter just catching peaks, not living there permanently. Now save that chain as an audio effect rack called EP drum bus rack. That's important. You want to recall. Not I think I did something like this on the last track. Step 4. Build a shared EP drum rack for kick and snare identity. In DNB, the kick and snare family is like the lead actor. If you change them every track, it instantly feels like a compilation. So make a drum rack called EP core kit. Load a small set, 2 or 3 kicks, 2 or 3 snares, a hat set with closed, open, maybe a ride. Keep it curated. For each simpler set, warp off. Then gain stage so each hit is in a sensible zone, like peaking roughly around minus 12 to minus 6 depending on layering. Then add macros. Map something like kick punch to a saturator drive on the kick chain. Snare crack to an EQ high shelf on the snare bus. Top air to a hat shelf. Drum dirt to the drum bus drive on your drum group. Here's the workflow win. Keep the core kick and snare consistent across the EP and change the break layer choice. Ghost note patterns, hat placement or swing, and fill design. Same world, different drummer. Step 5. Standardize your break workflow. If you're using Amen, think. Funky drummer breaks can make your EP sound cohesive, or they can make it sound like chaos. The difference is processing consistency. Create a break chain. Start with EQ8. High pass around 120 to 180 Hz so the break isn't competing with kick and sub. Dip harshness around 3 to 6K if it bites. Then drum bus for character. Drive 10 to 25%. Crunch 10 to 30, taste based. Optionally a gate to tighten tails. Don't chop the life out of it. You want it controlled, not dead. Optionally redux for grit. Tiny bit reduction, like 12 to 14 bit, just for texture. And auto filter for movement. Map cutoff to an 8 or 16 bar automation, so the break opens into drops and closes in breakdowns. That opening up contour across the EP is a subtle but powerful glue. Save a few versions as racks. Break clean, break crunch, break dark. Reuse them. That's how you get jungle flavor without every track sounding like a different engineer. Step 6. Lock the low end. EP-wide sub rules. This is the number one reason EPs feel inconsistent. Different sub shapes and levels per track. One track has a long sub release, another is super tight. One has a wide sub by accident. One is sidechained aggressively, one barely ducks. The listener might not describe it, but they feel it. So set rules. Use one main sub instrument across the EP. Operator is perfect. Set operator Oscar to sign. Keep the envelope controlled, especially the release. If it's too long, it overlaps the kick and changes how loud your drop feels. Add a saturator with 1 to 2 dB drive, soft clip on. That helps translation on smaller speakers. EQ8 low pass around 120 to 180 Hz. Utility width at 0%. Always. No debate. Then sidechain compression from the kick. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 ms. Release 60 to 120 ms. Aim for 2 to 5 dB gain reduction on kick hits. But here's the coaching note. The feel of the envelope matters more than the number. If the release is wrong, the groove won't match across tracks even if the meter says the same. Also pick an anchor note range, like most drops centered around F or G. Again, you can change keys, but having a center of gravity keeps the EP weight consistent. Step 7. Create a bass character rack for your mid layers. This is your EP signature. Your mid bass and Reese choices are basically your language. So build a rack you reuse. Then vary notes and rhythm rather than reinventing the tone every track. A solid stockish chain, wave-eatable or analog with a sawish wave, unison carefully. Saturator with 4 to 8 dB drive, soft clip-on, amp for bite, but keep output controlled. EQ8 to cut mud around 200 to 400 and control harshness 2 to 5K. Auto filter with an envelope, or LFO, sync to 1/4 or 1/8, to give movement. Multiband dynamics gently as tone control, not destruction, and utility for width, but only for the mid layer. Key move, split bass into sub mono and mid stereo. On the MID track, cut below 120 Hz. On the SUB track, low pass above 120 to 180 and keep it mono. This means every track hits the club with the same low-end discipline. Extra trick from a more advanced workflow, create a MID print lane. Route your mid-bass group into it post-FX, and resample 8 or 16 bar phrases, then do micro edits, reverse a hit, mute a gap, pitch nudge, little stutters. You preserve the tone, but you get variation. This is how you avoid the new synth, new identity problem. Step 8, build EP wide return effects, same space across tracks. This is the glue people don't realize they're hearing. If every track has a different room and different delay tone, it doesn't feel like one project. Return A, short room, hybrid reverb in algorithmic mode, decay around 0.4 to 0.8 seconds, pre-delay 5 to 15 ms, high pass 200 to 400, low pass 7 to 10k, use lightly on snare, hats, percussion. Return B, dub delay, echo set to 1/8 or 1/4, feedback 20 to 35%, filter the delay, high pass around 300, low pass 6 to 8k. Mod subtle, optional saturator after echo for tapish push. Return C, long verb atmos, hybrid reverb with decay 2 to 5 seconds, high pass 300 to 600, keep the return level low, and automate sends during transitions for drama. Optional return D, parallel crunch, something like drum bus hard into saturator, then EQ high pass around 200, send snares and fills into it to get consistent grit without wrecking your main drum bus. And the coaching note, avoid creating a new reverb on every track unless you have a clear reason. Reuse returns so everything lives in the same world. Step 9. Set up EP reference and a / B inside live. Make that reference track readable. Drop in 2 or 3 tunes that match your target. Roller, jungle, dark techie, whatever you're aiming at. Put a utility on the reference and have a quick way to drop it by 6 dB. You want to compare tone and balance, not get fooled by loudness. Optionally add spectrum, optionally a limiter for safety. Then use a fast / B ritual. Every time you adjust low end, to 10 seconds. Your drop, reference drop. Your intro, reference intro. That's it. Quick, repeatable. It keeps you from drifting. Advanced variation if you want it. Make an EP snapshot rack on your master. Monitoring only. Macros for a tilt EQ, a subcheck, and mono plus a slight side dip. Use it to diagnose fast, then reset to zero. The important part is reset. You don't want diagnostic tools becoming your new normal. Step 10. Use a repeatable DNB arrangement map. Energy pacing is part of consistency. Even if the sound design changes, your listeners feel the structure. A common 174 BPM structure, 16 or 32 bar DJ friendly intro, 8 bar lift, 32 bar drop 1, 16 bar breakdown or switch up, 32 bar drop 2, 16 or 32 bar outro. In Ableton, add locators. Intro, lift, drop 1, break, drop 2, outro. Color code them. This audio version is shortened for playback.